We're going to open it up for some questions now from the audience.
Thank you for your time. I have two questions. An obvious, a very obvious question is the for Sharon and for Deborah. The schools in Newark are run by the state, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Cami Anderson works for the state of New Jersey. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. I thought so. Pardon me for my ignorance. Do you know what the per student funding is for Newark students?
Is it 20?
It's about 19,000.
Okay.
I want to slightly expand on that, because when you hear that number, there's two things that are really important. The first is that doesn't translate to how much, that's how much money the students are actually getting. Charter schools get 90% per pupil when they get funded. So they're getting 90% per pupil of that 19,000. But when you look at elementary school budgets, the actual budgets that the actual elementary schools are getting in Newark, you'll find that per pupil they're getting about $8,000. Because the rest is going to Cami's overhead, very high administrative costs. So a lot of the money doesn't actually make it to the student, and disproportionately high amount of it in Newark doesn't make it to the student in the school.
The funding for your schools comes from the state of New Jersey, and a large portion of that comes from Bergen County, statistically speaking. So is there a...
And from property taxes.
Pardon me?
And from property taxes.
Yes, exactly. Property taxes and state income tax as well. Is there a parent PTA or Board of Education, a PTA in Newark that is active?
Yes, there are PTAs that are active, but our superintendent has pushed for the PTAs to be converted to PTOs, where there's less restriction, less accountability to monies, and a lot of the principals actually ask those parent groups for money for certain events in the school, and so the money is turned around through the parents, and monies are not given to, or the monies that are raised by the PTO are not used specifically for students or parents' events. It's actually events that the school wants to hold for the parents and claim that they don't have money for it, and so then the parent ends up paying for those events. So initially, we did have a lot of PTAs in Newark, a lot of them which were not active because of the lack of parents participating in them. And so when Cami Anderson became superintendent, that's when it was a change in promoting PTO instead of PTA.
Is it more active? Is it a larger group now?
No, not really, because most of the parents are discouraged somewhat. And so most of the time, PTAs have a voice in the school, but lately there is no voice in the school, out of the school. And so there's activities. So like one parent told me they were giving an ice cream special, something like that. But in regards to training parents to understand how to build their school, how to make it a better school, those type of trainings are no longer available. When I was listening to Chris earlier when she was talking about Bill Gates, right? And I can remember being a part of the minority leaders for the PTA, and we had an event where Bill Gates, I don't know if she was a CEO, but she came to the state PTA to ensure that we were going to promote Common Core, and we had to vote on it at the PTA, and PTA became a tool to push for the Common Core, and they were fighting to get each state to join in, and that's really how the Common Core was pushed through the PTA initially. So the parents and the teachers got together and actually pushed for the Common Core.
I wanted to add really quickly, this is happening across the state with the PTAs, that they're increasingly being asked to fund through independent fundraising for the school's fundamental parts of curriculum necessities. In particular, they're being asked to supplement technology, creating tech labs, buying keyboards, which is facilitating the administration of these high-stake tests. And you're right, because there's a very vicious circle here, but it is a point at which parents have to say, this is how much I pay for property taxes, this is how much my school should be getting from the state, and on top of that, you're telling me as a PTA to go raise $20,000 for the technology to administer a test that I don't want my child to take? Like, there has to be a point at which the PTAs are willing to get engaged and speak up and say no.
Can I just make one more comment? And perhaps it is upon our due diligence as taxpayers in this state to let our governor know that we are fed up with the waste, fraud, and abuse that goes on in schools across the state, specifically like Newark. I mean, how can you get that kind of money and not be funded?
How involved are the superintendents in working together against this core curriculum? I mean, it seemed to me that these organizations should be working with superintendents as well, because if we really want to make a difference, it's superintendents who are pushing this core curriculum and enhancing the standards that are expected of children and the demands made on teachers. So why aren't we using some advocacy against them or with them?
In New Jersey, our superintendents just had their salaries capped not too long ago. So I think there's a lot of fear on the parts of superintendents to speak out and as strongly as they might. I know our superintendent in Ridgewood has done some speaking out, not as much as, of course, as I would like him to, but he's done some speaking out against teacher evaluation and the use of the test scores. But in New York State, superintendents in the Lower Hudson Valley are absolutely getting together, and they're not afraid, and they're speaking out very loudly and very clearly, and there are superintendents across the country doing the same. John Kuhn just wrote a book in Texas about the testing miracle that really sent us down this road that was a fraud. And so, yeah, so superintendents are speaking out, but it is, you know, you're putting your job on the line, and it's a risk, so you have to be courageous.
I just want to add that I don't know if you know where Bloomfield is. It's a suburb over from Montclair. And we are beginning to see in New Jersey superintendents who are saying enough and who are starting to speak out. And in Bloomfield, the superintendent and the Board of Education has said, well, you know, we're bound by law to do these things. But what we're going to do is tell our parents we don't believe in them. We don't believe in testing. They organize parents to write to Congress. To urge Congress to change legislation, and they can't tell parents to opt out, but they are giving them all the information they need to do it. And I think this is so important. People like Jean, superintendents, educators, the people who are in the schools, and you see this in New York, you see it that it happened in New York, are able to talk about what's happening in the schools and connect with parents from the outside, and together that's a very powerful force, you know, for change, because as parents, we listen to the teacher, we listen to the principal, and even when we sense that something's wrong with curriculum, if your superintendent is telling you, oh, it's great, oh, the kids can do it, they're going to love, oh, we're all going to do great on the part, you know, you're really low, you know, you're slow to question it. The other thing I would say is take the park, you can take it online, and then that starts a lot of discussion in your community. We just did it in Montclair, and people were floored, changed a lot of opinions. Yes, there are sample tests online that you can go to and take, and you can get groups of people together to take them and have conversation, and it really Well, you can have your kid take the sample test, too.
I want to add one thing to the question about the superintendent and the 2% cap is really important, because it's not just that they've become scared. It's that a lot of experienced veteran superintendents have left their jobs. When their contracts were up and they were faced with a huge pay loss or going across to Connecticut or Pennsylvania or retiring, they left. And so what you're doing is you're replacing them with a cadre many of times trained in this whole notion of school reform out of what we call the Broad School. They're trained to administer this. So the 2% cap creates fear, and it creates the turnover. So it's connecting the dots that Junius is talking about. It's part of the way to destabilize the system, to replace it with the cogs in the wheel that will administer your agenda. Not to be too blunt about it.
I'm a retired teacher. I retired in 2008. I did see how No Child Left Behind affected my students. I still have teacher friends who are working, and I hear horror stories all the time. I wish that this had been televised or recorded, because I'd love to take this. I'm the president of the Passaic County Retired Educators. I would love to present all this material to them. I'm also a member of the League of Women Voters. I'd love to present this material to them. Is there any way I can get kind of a synopsis of what you've done? Have you ever thought of doing that? Thank you, and thank you very much.
And if you ask, I'll volunteer myself to either the NJREA or to the League of Women Voters to come speak on this.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll come.
I have a funding question, and it's more about accountabilities for each of the school districts. I live in Bergen County. I live in one of the sparkly districts around here. We're very small. We're a K-8 district. And one of the things that I have been trying to figure out through advertised budgets over the last several years is exactly what we have spent in textbooks, in new professional development, in equipment, in pretty much everything related. I cannot get a straight answer out. Has the state of New Jersey done any kind of an audit to find out what that would be? And then per what you were saying about the PTAs and PTOs possibly raising money, where I am, it's an education association. And in my tiny little town, we're raising over $100,000 a year. That's parents just giving in extra money on top of our taxes. And those things are going to pay for computers so that the district is ready for PARC. But what I want to know is, does the state of New Jersey care? Is that going to be part of an audit ever? Or do I have to stand up in front of my Board of Ed and be the person with the target on my forehead saying, tell us how much you spent?
The quick answer to that in our experience is that the you're the one with the target on your forehead. Okay, that's the quick answer. The state sent out a survey to ask for PARC readiness. Now, catch 22 here, the districts don't want to tell them they're not ready because it makes them look like targets. It puts targets on their forehead. So most districts will embellish their readiness or be optimistic about it. It's very hard to distinguish how much they're spending for PARC preparedness, and because it's also tied to how much they're spending for Common Core, and that's been embedded in their budget for some time. You have to ask really specific questions, which I'm happy to help with crafting. There's some information that's going to be going up on a Facebook page called Parents Not For Profit, which will be providing toolkits and asking these specific questions. It takes really a good board member to give you that information, to sit down with you, or a good BA, right, who's willing to share that. Because they'll have a technology line, and they'll say, well, but not all of it's for PARC, right? But suddenly that technology line doubles, right? And then the other thing you have to do is actually look at the audited spending versus what they're projecting, because they'll often make it look one way and then be forced to spend it another way. So it's very hard to get these answers. We have asked and surveyed some districts through various studies last year at the early stages. My district estimated it spent $700,000 last year on PARC preparedness, which is not nearly what they're going to end up spending. Some districts have estimated about $1 million within a year. So it depends. Now remember, though, those are districts which actually had that money to move around. When you go to a financially strangled district like an urban district, they're not investing that money, which feeds this hypocrisy that we're actually about trying to help the kids who have less opportunity, because we're testing their computer literacy through PARC, but we're not giving them computers in the classrooms or access to computers absent the test taking.
And we're not teaching the teachers how to use the computers that are there, and you don't have the access to the web in most of these places, and you don't, I'm talking about the urban communities, and you don't have enough computers to go around. So but specifically to answer your question, we teach people how to analyze budgets from time to time. I would suggest, and there's a woman in Patterson whose name I can't think of. She just retired. Irene Sterling just retired from the Patterson Education Fund. And she is an expert on teaching people like you how to analyze the budget. The other thing is, once you figure out the questions and you still have questions, you can file an OPRA request, open public meetings at request. And if they don't answer you then you need to go to court. But that's a process for getting it.
I think it was Christine who had mentioned it's really beneficial for superintendents and boards to get on board and fight the effort for PARC and to prepare for PARC. But for districts who districts that don't have superintendents who are that progressive or brave or don't even have an effort to opt out, districts who are very focused on elite colleges, Bergen Academy acceptances for their children, how would you recommend building some kind of force in those kinds of districts?
You know, Montclair has a Broad superintendent. Everybody knows the Broad Academy where they teach people who want to be superintendents how to go in and disrupt a district. Like, that is the strategy. You disrupt the district. We just determined that we paid $1.9 million to upgrade our technology, but it wasn't just all for the park. You know, it's for the kids. And our taxes went up 4%. And, you know, we've been hoodwinked. And part of the problem, when you can't have a dialogue, right, it's very easy to get anything going. So what we've done is we've begun to organize in town, and we do a lot of informational forums. And now what's starting to happen with the approach of the park is people are having living room meetings and talking. And we're doing a lot of writing. We're doing a lot of letters to the editor. We're doing a lot of organizing, sending to the state. And we're just going in. Who said the target on the forehead? Into board meetings over and over and over again. Now, this has gotten a little bit more than uncomfortable because with the coming of Kim Anderson's old PR guy to Montclair, his name is Matt Frankel, he searches you out. He finds you on the internet. He starts to bombard you. They have written a sort of nasty blog. Anybody who speaks up, you know, you're attacked on the blog. They put your questions up on the board web. So this stuff can get very, very ugly. But I think what it is, it's joining together. It's joining together. And what we're also seeing in Montclair is the classroom is changing. It's changing. And people are beginning to feel it. And so as the children begin showing harm, the parents are waking up. And that's what's happening to us, because even though our teachers are trying very hard to maintain a good progressive education, right, where you meet the child where the child is and try to bring the child along, that's not how Common Core works, right? Common Core is you have to be here now or you're a failure. You are a failure. And you got to perform or we all go down. So as people are seeing their children hurt, homework change, and as we come up to the park and taking the park test, you know, so I would say those things, and networking with state organizations so that you have that platform, because change is going to have to come locally, right, where you educate each other, you go into your board meetings, you write your letters to the editor, you start talking to your local representatives. It's going to have to come on a state level, you know, and we're going to do something at the federal level. So just begin, and don't give up. And I'm a I just finished being a PTA officer at the school. That's all I talked about on the PTA. I'd walk in the room, people would be like, oh my God, here she comes again, talking about that from the PTA. Let's talk about a fundraiser. No.
Can I don't just, for those elite, the schools you're talking about, here's a couple of things. My son's a junior in high school, my oldest one. They're the guinea pig year for PARC testing. These tests are now going to be given to him with no benchmark set. Potentially go on their permanent record, right? Which means graduate schools could be looking at them. I don't want my son to be part of an experiment, thank you very much. There is no reason that I want him to be. And at the same time that we're instituting this at the K through 12 level, the higher education schools that, you know, your district's trying to send kids to are turning away from standardized tests as a means of judging preparedness for admission. They're recognizing that the standardized test is basically a socioeconomic measure. They already know most kids can't afford their college. They don't need that measure, right? So it's a conundrum, because the higher education people are moving in one direction and the K through 12 are trying to push us in a different direction, and our kids are the guinea pigs. So if you want to get at the heart of the parents in your district, talk to them about the fact that your child is being treated as a commodity to make money off of them, and they're being treated as a guinea pig for an untested form of testing that will go on their permanent record that we don't even know what a passing mark is. The benchmark will be decided a year after they've taken it, but before it's been implemented a second time, which is statistically an egregious error,
right? And this could haunt them. And we don't know for how many years they will be guinea pigs. So is it harmful for my child to take this park test once? Absolutely. Because that could be a permanent part of their record.
Sorry, we don't have time, but we are going to break now. I guess the panelists, if you want to ask them, part of you, that's fine. But I want to thank everybody for attending this evening. This was a lot of information, very, very good information. And thank you all very much.